Good morning and welcome to everyone. Standing back here, seeing the cameras, people coming in, it was like, wow, as good as we can, a full service this morning. So that's pretty nice. Glad to see everybody and so many folks here this morning. About the only extra thing I think we have this morning, a little Sunday school recognition at the end of service. I mention that now so everybody can stop me before I try and bolt down the center of the aisle and totally forget about it. So now that's on the table already, so we all know it's coming at the end. Let's go ahead and we begin our service with the singing of our opening hymn, Christ Has Made the Sure Foundation.
Greetings in our risen Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We welcome you to the October 4th worship service at Zion Lutheran Church, Lincoln, Illinois. Participating in production of this broadcast are Bill and Diane Breen, Robert Clem, and Ken Richard. Our organist is Dora Thompson. The opening hymn is number 909, Christ Is Made the Sure Foundation, hymn number 909 found in the Lutheran service book. Nancy Lehrer is sponsoring the altar flowers and the radio broadcast today to the glory of God in memory of Jim Lehrer.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins to God our Father, beseeching Him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord.
Who made heaven and earth.
I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
And you forgave the iniquity of my sin.
O Almighty God, merciful Father,
I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities.
with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserve your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorrowed for them, and sincerely repent of them, and I pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being.
Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Restore us, O God of hosts. Let your face shine, that we may be saved.
You brought a vine out of Egypt. You drove out the nations and planted it.
You cleared the ground for it. It took deep root and filled the land.
The mountains were covered with its shade, the mighty cedars with its branches.
It sent out its branches to the sea and its shoots to the river.
Why then have you broken down its walls, so that all who pass along the way pluck its fruit?
The boar from the forest ravages it, and all that move in the fields feed on it.
Turn again, O God of hosts. Look down from heaven and see. Have regard for this vine.
The stock at your right hand planted, and for the son whom you have made strong for yourself.
Burned it with fire. They have cut it down. May they perish at the rebuke of your face.
But let your hand be upon the man of your right hand, the son of man, whom you have made strong for yourself.
Then we shall not turn back from you. Give us life, and we will call upon your name.
Restore us, O Lord, God of hosts. Let your face shine, that we may be saved. God on high. Thank you. us pray. Gracious God, you gave your Son into the hands of sinful men who killed him. Forgive us when we reject your unfailing love, and grant us the fullness of your salvation. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Please be seated. The Old Testament on this 18th Sunday after Pentecost is from the book of Isaiah, the 5th chapter, beginning at the 1st verse. Let me sing for my beloved, my love song concerning his vineyard. My beloved had a vineyard on a very fertile hill. He dug it and cleared it of stones and planted it with choice vines. He built a watchtower in the midst of it and hewed a wine vat in it. And he looked for it to yield grapes, but it yielded wild grapes. And now, O inhabitants of Jerusalem and men of Judah, judge between me and my vineyard. What more was there to do for my vineyard that I have not done in it? When I looked for it to yield grapes, why did it yield wild grapes? And now I will tell you what I will do to my vineyard. I will remove its hedge, and it shall be devoured. I will break down its wall, and it shall be trampled down. I will make it a waste. It shall not be pruned or hoed. Its briar and briars and thorns shall grow up. I will also command the clouds that they rain no rain upon it. For the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel, and the men of Judah are his pleasant planting. He looked for justice, but behold, bloodshed. For righteousness, but behold, an outcry. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Catechetical Review. In regards to the Lord's Prayer, what is the fifth petition?
And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us.
What does this mean?
We pray in this petition that our Father in heaven would not look at our sins or deny our prayer because of them. We are neither worthy for the things for which we pray, nor have we deserved them, but we ask that he would give them all to us by grace. For we daily sin much, and surely deserve nothing but punishment. So we too will sincerely forgive, and gladly do good to those who sin against us.
The epistle reading from Philippians, the 3rd chapter, beginning at the 4th verse, and serves in part as our sermon text. If anyone else thinks he has reason for confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the 8th day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, as to the law, a Pharisee, as to zeal, a persecutor of the church, as to righteousness under the law, blameless. But whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as lost because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, and may share his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, that by any means possible I may attain the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained all of this, or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own, because Christ Jesus made me his own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We rise for the singing of the Alleluia. The Gospel is recorded in St. Matthew, the 21st chapter. Hear another parable. There was a master of a house who planted a vineyard and put a fence around it and dug a wine press in it and built a tower and leased it to tenants who went out to and went into another country. And when the season for fruit drew near, he sent his servants to the tenants to get his fruit. And the tenants took his servants and beat one, killed another, and stoned another. Again, he sent other servants, more than the first, and they did the same to them. Finally, he sent his son to them, saying, "They will respect my son." But when the tenants saw the son, they said to themselves, "Come, this is the heir. Come, let us kill him and have his inheritance." And they took him and threw him out of the vineyard and killed him. When therefore the owner of the vineyard comes, what will he do to those tenants? And they said to him, "He will put those wretches to a miserable death and let out the vineyard to other tenants who will give him the fruits in their seasons." Jesus said to them, "Have you never read in the scriptures, 'The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone'? This was the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Therefore I tell you, the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a people producing its fruits. And the one who falls on this stone will be broken to pieces, and when it falls on anyone, it will crush him." When the chief priests and the Pharisees heard his parables, they perceived that he was speaking about them. And although they were seeking to arrest him, they feared the crowds, because they held him to be a prophet. This is the gospel of our Lord. Having heard the gospel of our Lord, we confess our Christian faith, the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God,
the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of the Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten and not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins. And I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Please be seated for the singing of the hymn.
The sermon hymn is number 664, Fight the Good Fight, hymn number 664, found in the Lutheran Service Book.
Thank you.
different text this morning from Philippians, the third chapter. If anyone thinks he has reason for confidence in the flesh, I have more. Indeed, I count everything as loss for the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. I have lost all things in order that I may gain Christ and be found in Him, having the righteousness from God that depends on faith. Thus far the words of our text. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus, the Christ of God. Amen. So in this one little section here this morning, St. Paul uses some very specific words, and words like confidence and faith and knowledge. And there's important relationships between the words that he uses and the relationships that are intertwined with these concepts, the concepts of confidence, faith, and knowledge. So Paul here expresses the confidence, the faith, the knowledge that he has in Jesus Christ. And he goes on to say, well, I have this confidence, this faith, knowledge, and it all has a goal. It's not just the goal in itself to have this. The goal that Paul is pushing on to is the resurrection, eternal life, the promised resurrection. So the forgiven person will rise on the last day, glorious and immortal. So this is what Paul is pushing on to. Now we remember Paul has seen the risen Christ. He saw the risen Christ as Paul was on the road to Damascus. Remember, Paul was going to persecute Christians, and Christ appears to him, Saul, Saul, why are you doing this to me? Who are you, Lord? I am the one who you are persecuting. Right? And after this encounter, and due to meeting Christ, justification, righteousness, faith in Christ, resurrection, all these things become of paramount importance to the Apostle Paul. And reading these words from Philippians this week and looking at our hymn today, hymn of the day, some words jumped out. And they all revolve around belief, like the third article of the Creed, I believe in the Holy Christian Church. But what is belief? What is this? In our hymn of the day, there was faint not nor fear, His arms are near. He changes not who holds you dear. Only believe, and you will see that Christ is all eternally. And as I was looking at that, one of the things that came to my mind, you know, the hymn, the reading, is how often, how do people today in the modern world think of the word belief? What does it mean to believe something? And in many instances, in many cases, to believe something just says, well, that's what I believe. Well, what is your evidence? What backs that? Well, don't have to. I just believe it. You can't question what I believe. Well, yeah, I can question what you believe. Because we don't just randomly believe things. You see, Christians don't just randomly believe things just because we feel like believing them. What we believe and what we have confidence and trust in is based on evidence. Like, sometimes there's an idea that to believe means that there need not be evidence or proof. Like, I believe in the Great Pumpkin, because Linus did, so there you go, that's good enough for me. Or, I believe the world is flat, and that every astronomer and every cartographer in the world is engaged in a cover-up to keep the truth from knowing, being known. Like, really? No. That's ridiculous. Right? The world is not flat. We have enough evidence to prove that. But see, that's not what we mean when we say belief or faith. We don't just believe something like, I want to believe it, therefore that's what I believe, and hey, you can't say nothing to me about that. Not at all. Absolutely, absolutely not. See, in the Lutheran Church, we have a doctrinal statement in the Augsburg Confession, the Book of Concord, I mean. We believe, teach, and confess that faith is not mere knowledge. Aha. Faith is not mere knowledge of the stories about Christ, but faith is the gift of God by which, in the word of the gospel, we rightly recognize Christ as our Redeemer, and we trust in Him solely because of His obedience, that by grace we have the forgiveness of sins, and that we are regarded as holy and righteous by God the Father, and we shall be saved eternally. See, that is faith. The faith is a confidence and trust in the person and the work of Jesus Christ our Lord, what he has done, for the purpose of being saved eternally. This is what St. Paul's talking about, and this is what St. Paul's doing. He's saying, like, I'm going to point you to the goal. There is a goal to all of this. It's not an end in unto it itself. And the goal is resurrection and eternal life and glory. Now, there is eternal life without Christ, and that is really eternal death. It is damnation. It is suffering the torments of hell, where the worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. We do not want that. We do not want to spend all eternity in torment, and the torment of knowing that we rejected our Savior, that we rejected the one given by God to give us eternal life. So we want eternal life, and that is life and glory. That is blessedness with all the traces of original sin wiped out of our nature, and that we live for all eternity in that blessedness and in that glory. So faith apprehends that. That is faith's goal, to live. So what does faith do? Faith, in one sense, right, is an objective body of knowledge. So like we say in the creeds, all the things that we believe, all three articles of the creed. This is what we call the faith that is believed. But that's not saving faith. One can say that's all historically true, but Jesus never, I don't believe it. It doesn't apply to me. Okay, so you can say everything in the creed, but not trust that it applies to you. That's not saving faith. Right? To believe the gospel does not signify the mere knowledge of history, because the devil and the ungodly have a mere knowledge of history, right? But namely that we believe in the forgiveness of sins, namely that we trust that we have the grace of God for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ, that we have Christ's righteousness and the forgiveness of our sins through Christ. That is the faith that is revealed to us in the gospel. So our faith, our belief, our trust, our confidence in Jesus Christ isn't some kind of pie-in-the-sky thing. It's based on the witness of Holy Scripture. And where did the Holy Scripture get the witness from? The people who were there, the people who saw these things occur in time, wrote them down. They considered them to be so important that they wrote them down for us. So what does Peter say? Peter said, "And we are witnesses of all that he did. God raised him from the dead on the third day, made him to appear, not to all the people, but to us who have been chosen by God as his witnesses, those who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead." St. Paul also writes down for us on paper, "He appeared to Peter, then to the 12, and then he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers at one time, most of whom are still alive, but some of them have fallen asleep. And then he appeared to James, and then he appeared to all of the apostles, and then he appeared to me as to one untimely born." Like, people saw the resurrected Jesus. People saw him die. People saw him nailed to a cross. People saw him put in a tomb. People saw an empty tomb. People saw Jesus appear after he was laid in the tomb. People saw this Jesus alive. They saw him eat fish with them. So Jesus appeared alive, right? So 500 people, primary sources, first-hand witnesses, people who laid eyes, ears, and hands on the events that are recorded in the gospel. All of the history would be nothing, though, if it was not for the why of what Jesus did. And there's a reason that Jesus did all that he did, so that repentance and forgiveness of sins would be preached in his name to the entire world. Repentance and forgiveness of sins, then, to what end? What is the end of that, the goal of that? Jesus himself tells us in John's gospel. "The work of God is this," Jesus said, "believe in the one he has sent. This is the will of him who sent me, that I should lose none of all that he has given me, but raise them up on the last day." There is the goal, resurrection, to be raised up on the last day. Again, Jesus says, "For it is my Father's will that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day." Jesus also looked at the disciples after many started deserting Jesus, and he said, "Do you not want to leave too, do you?" Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of and you know this, eternal life. We believe and know that you are the Holy One of God. We believe and we know that you, Jesus of Nazareth, are the Holy One of God. So this belief in Christ, faith in Christ, is not a mere knowledge, but it is a desire to accept and grasp what is offered in the promise of Christ. So when a person believes, right, take all of that, put it together, look at the evidence, say, I have confidence and trust in this based on the evidence that Jesus is exactly who he says he is, right? When a person does that, believes that their sins are forgiven because of Christ, and trust that God is reconciled to that individual, that God has a kind disposition towards you because of Christ, that personal faith, that personal trust, and that personal confidence obtains the forgiveness of sins and justifies that individual. So faith is the power of God that grasps the promise of God and the promise of grace and righteousness and gives vigor to the heart, and especially when the heart is surrounded by the terrors of sin and death. Right? When we're on our deathbeds, faith grabs hold of the promises of God. So this faith then looks past death and looks forward to resurrection. Past and through death to resurrection. Through faith in Christ, Jesus' work on our behalf, we will rise completely renewed. You will rise completely renewed. In the resurrection, you will rise from the grave. You, like you who's sitting here, you will be you. You will look like you, with the exception that all of the corruption of original sin will be removed from you, and you will be perfect just as God had originally intended it. You will be glorified. You will rise to live forever, as Job asserts in his book, I shall be covered with my own skin, and in my flesh I will see God. I will see him with these eyes and not another. How my heart yearns within me for that day. That is the Christian faith. And what better than to end with St. Paul's words to the young pastor Timothy. As for you, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it and how from childhood you have been acquainted with the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Jesus Christ our Lord. Cling to Christ. Cling to the Scriptures. Cling to the truth of what has been written down by many witnesses so that you might have eternal life, trusting in Christ and on the last day be resurrected from the dead to live eternally, immortal, and in all glory. In Jesus' name, amen. And now may the peace that passes all understanding be in your hearts and minds through the one true faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. We rise now for the singing of the offertory. Let us pray for the people of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Heavenly Father, please forgive us when we forget the goal of our faith. Forgive us when we run and run and only see heaven as the goal. Forgive and grant us the faith that always remembers the resurrection of the dead, the glorifying of our bodies, the new heaven and the new earth, and the life eternal in creation restored. May that goal always be with us for Jesus' sake. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayers.
Gracious God, as harvest has begun, we ask you to hear our prayers for the safety of all who work bringing in the harvest. Keep safe the farmers, the hired hands, the truck drivers, all of those who work in elevators, and all those who labor, whose labor at this time is dangerous. Grant to them both the ability to work long and hard, and to sleep equally as long and hard. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayers.
As we pray for those in the fields, we pray also for those in uniform. Dear God, keep our law enforcement officers safe from harm, and bestow upon our populace the respect for those whose call is to serve and protect. Grant safety to those in the armed forces of our nation, and especially today do we pray for Debbie Taylor's nephew, Logan, as he prepares to deploy to guard our nation's borders. May all those in uniform serve honorably and be granted safe and joyous homecomings. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayers.
This day, O Heavenly Father, we thank you for the service of those who teach in our Sunday school. And we pray that this coronavirus would be brought to an end swiftly so that Sunday school will be back open and we are able to gather together once again to study and read and hear your word. Bless those who teach in our Sunday school, O Lord. Keep them firm, strong, and faithful in their trust in you unto life everlasting. And may they open the scriptures for those they instruct. All this we pray in the name of Jesus Christ, your Son, our Savior. Amen. We continue now with the preface. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God. It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who out of love for his fallen creation humbled himself by taking on the form of a servant, becoming obedient unto death, even death upon a cross. Risen from the dead, he has freed us from eternal death and given us life everlasting. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, in heaven. Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Our Lord. Lord Jesus Christ, on the night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Sharing in the morning worship at Zion Lutheran Church, 205 Pulaski Street in Lincoln, Illinois, where you have just heard Reverend Mark Thompson deliver the message for this morning. If you cannot be physically present, join us every Sunday morning on the radio at 8 o'clock over WLLM 1370 AM or WLLM 105.3 FM or on Facebook Live or on the internet at www.zlclinc.org. Zion services are also available on cable channel 5 and on the LCTV app on your smartphone on weekends at 10 and 5 and on weekdays at 8 and 5. Zion is a member congregation of the Worldwide Fellowship of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. If you are without a church home, we invite you to become a part of the Zion family. If we may assist you in any way, please call us at 732-3946 or write to us at Zion Lutheran Church, 205 Pulaski Street, Lincoln, Illinois, 62656. Zion also offers a premier education with a Christian worldview for children from age 3 through the 8th grade at Zion Lutheran School. For more information concerning our school, please contact the school office at 732-3977. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be and abide with you all. Amen.
We rise. The true body and true blood of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ will strengthen and preserve you in the one true faith into life everlasting. Depart in his peace. Give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us with this salutary gift. And we implore you that of your mercy you would strengthen us through the same, in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. The Lord be with you. Bless we the Lord. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and grant thee his peace.
Closing hymn is number 824. May God bestow on us his grace. Number 824 in the Lutheran Service Book.
Thank you.
seated. Peggy?
Good morning. This morning is Christian Education Appreciation Sunday. Normally we would be having a very nice coffee hour over in Wittenberg Fellowship Hall. COVID-19 has prevented that, but it has not prevented us from being here together today to recognize 25 different people who volunteer as either Sunday school teachers, adult Bible class teachers, substitute teachers, Sunday school office workers, youth group leaders, or vacation Bible school directors. I'm going to read through the list in just a minute, and when I call your name, I'd like you to stand up in your seat and stay there until I read off all 25 people, and then we'll have a round of applause and thank you for everyone. But one thing I would like to say first is that all of these volunteers give of their time, planning and preparing for the job they volunteer to do. Their dedication brings them here every Sunday morning, Sunday evening, or the week of Bible school, depending again on the job they volunteer to do. So our list begins with Betsy Boyd, Chris Thompson, Diane Bream, Danita Biggs, Darla Stanfield, Chris Lockenauer, Megan Clem, Nancy Lair, Nola Dittus, Sarah Schwantz, Patty Clem, Sharon Jones, Sue Rettmeyer, Rachel Welker, Jennifer Heibritter, Angie Marlin, Catherine Brunchen, Brian Stoltenberg, Carl Ah II, Doug Sheely, John Clem, Pastor Thompson, and Rod Meyer. So let's give them a round of applause to thank them for all that they do. You may all be seated. Now, on your way out, those that were standing, except for Jennifer, Angie, and Catherine, who are going to get something special, as you're exiting at the front door, there will be one of three people handing a present. Could be Sharon Jones, could be Carl Ah, or could be Diane Bream, but they'll have a present for each one of you to thank you. And if Jennifer would come on down at this time. We have three anniversary presents to give out today. Angie Marlin will be getting her 10-year present at Second Service. Catherine Brunchen, her 5-year present at Second Service, and Jennifer, who I asked to come up, will be getting her 20-year present. Jennifer started with us as a sixth grade teacher, did that a few years, took time off to have her daughter, so that tells you how long ago that was, and then she came back to be a high school teacher and has been doing that for quite some time. So we have a special present for her. You're welcome, Jennifer. And I wanted one thing I forgot to say here. She is a very dedicated, dependable, responsible, organized teacher who is enjoyed by her students, and we're all happy to see her each Sunday morning when she comes in. She's been a blessing to her students as well as a blessing to the Sunday school these past 20 years. Let's give her a round of applause. Lastly, one last sentence. Thank you all for sharing your time and talents with the Sunday School and the Worth Christian Education Department here at Zion. Thank you.
And thank you, Peggy, for putting all of that together each year and all the years you and Rod have been involved in the Sunday School. And may the Lord bless all of you. May He bless your comings in and your goings out from this time forth and forevermore. Amen.